You know, growing up, you always joke about how you hope you're nothing like your parents. And yet, here I am. I mean, socks and all. I don't know what it is. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you that we can gather today in person and gather and worship you, Lord. Lord, I pray that these words not be my words, but yours, and that they do not fall on deaf ears. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Water is one of the most amazing and beautiful and powerful forces in the world. Oceans, lakes, rivers, waterfalls, tsunamis, flash floods. Water also creates and is host to a number of beautiful things. The Grand Canyon, the Great Coral Reef, 33,600 different species of fish, along with 10.4 million residential pools, 309,000 public swimming pools, four main ocean basins, millions of lakes, and 76 rivers over 1,000 miles long. Here are five of those rivers. The Danube River is 1,847 miles long. The Mississippi River is 2,360 miles long. The Parana River is 2,484 miles long. The Yangtze River is 2,487 miles long. And the Amazon River is 3,273 miles long. Now, Martin Strell, or better known as the Big River Man, is a 62-year-old gentleman born in Slovenia who holds five Guinness World Records for swimming those five rivers. He swam the Danube River in 58 days, the Mississippi River in 68 days, the Parana River in 24 days, the Yangtze River in 40 days, and the Amazon River, which is still the longest swim in human history, in 66 days. Martin's done what many people would claim is impossible. He's pushed human limits to the extent that we can't imagine. During these extreme and treacherous swims, he would be losing around 600 to 700 calories an hour. He's been bitten by piranhas, struck by lightning, had numerous infections, skin peeled off like paper, lost teeth, and much, much more. Through the ups and the downs, the pain and the sheer distance, Martin never stopped. Martin pressed on. Martin persevered, and Martin had endurance. Now, the first three verses of Hebrews chapter 12 are oftentimes called or titled the call to endurance. Hebrews is a powerful and meaningful text. Many scholars aren't exactly sure who the author of Hebrews is, but we know that the audience is Jewish Christians living in Jerusalem during this time. Now, during this time, they're facing terrible scrutiny and persecution. Therefore, we know this writing is a challenge. It's challenging them to press on, to persevere, and to endure during this terrible and trying time. This challenge the author has written is of great depth and importance for us all. As, and I quote, "We must throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us in order to run the race marked out for us, endurance, fixing our eyes on Jesus." The author understands that oftentimes in our lives, things are difficult. Things are hard. Things get in our way. But he wants us. He implores us. He empowers us to endure. Now, the word endurance is defined as the fact or power of enduring an unpleasant or difficult process or situation. In ancient Greek, it translates to homophone, meaning the patience to sit down and master things. It is a determination, unhurrying and yet delaying, which steadily goes on and on, refusing to be deflected or defeated. As Christians today, how is our endurance? How is our endurance with faith? How is our endurance with hope? With love? How is our endurance with life? The highs, the lows, the ups and the downs are everywhere. And oftentimes we fix our eyes on things other than Jesus. Church family, this morning, I beg of you, I implore you, and I pray for you that we as a body, as Christians today, that we endure. That we throw off the things that hinder and so easily entangle us. That we continue to run this race set out for us. And that we fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Because church family, with Jesus, we can endure all things. Now, the first step we see the author ask us here to do is to throw off the things that hinder and the sin that so easily entangles. To throw off, to remove something, to get rid of. These are all phrases we're pretty aware of, and we may do on a day-to-day basis, or maybe just once a year at a church garage sale. But here we see Hebrews asking us to throw off very specific things in our lives. The first thing we see him ask us to remove are things that hinder us. To hinder something is to provide resistance, delay, or obstruction to something or someone. This can be physical, mental, or spiritual. There are things in our lives that provide resistance for us to be the best that we can be as followers of Jesus Christ. Maybe this is social media. Maybe this is that one friend that has influence over us. Maybe it's the itching desire to please those around us. Maybe it's alcohol, pornography, or trying to appease everyone around us and focused on the monetary value of life rather than your loved ones. Secondly, we see the author ask us to throw off the things that so easily entangle us. Now, these two things flow together and work together very well. As we see, the word easily ensnare or easily entangle translate to the ancient Greek word eupistation, which can be translated into four ways: easily avoided, admired, ensnaring, or dangerous. As we see here, some sins can be easily avoided, but they're not. Some sins are admired, yet must be thrown off. Some sins are easily ensnaring and therefore very harmful. And some sins are more dangerous than others. Now, as many of you are aware, my dad's a little on the OCD side of things, especially when it comes to his yard. Every Friday morning is like Christmas Day for him for some reason, no matter if someone's trying to sleep in or it's cold or it's hot. He wakes up at 7 and heads outside to work in the yard. He mows, he weed eats, he trims, And for some reason, he blows the driveway of pine needles and leaves, even though we all know it will be covered again in 10 minutes. He is literally throwing off and getting rid of the bad things in the yard. Now, each winter, he goes out and does this to an extreme as he cuts back plants and trees and even cuts back the crepe myrtles all the way, which some people I know would say you're not supposed to do. But again, we see that he is literally cutting back those things. We see this idea depicted in the Gospels. John chapter 15, verse 1 through 2 states, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes." In our lives today, we're sometimes like these plants. And here in Hebrews, we're being called to throw off those bad things. Now, as Christians, we must notice, we must be aware of those bad things in our lives and throw them off. Church, in order to endure and persevere and run this race marked out for us, we must throw off, cut off, and prune the sinful things out of our lives. Because again, church family, with Jesus, we can endure all things. Now, the second step we see in Hebrews is a discussion to run the race. This phrase and word race or run is used multiple times in the Bible, old and new. We see it in Ecclesiastes 9:11, 1 Corinthians 9:24, Psalms 19:5, and then here in Hebrews. We all know what a race is, and we all know what running is, but what exactly is the author of Hebrews referring to here? Race in ancient Greek is translated to agana or agona, meaning conflict or struggle of many kinds, which sounds very, very accurate when I think about running. We can't all be like John who runs 20 miles a day. What does it truly mean to run the race marked out for you? Paul discusses this idea in Acts 20:24, where he states, "However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. The task of testifying to the good news of God's grace." We also see this idea depicted in Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Now, I'm not sure how many of y'all have been to Waco in the past year, but don't. Do not come to Waco right now. The traffic and the construction may just be the death of me. One day this road's open and the next day it's closed. One day there's no potholes and the next day you have a flat tire. One day this light works and the next day you're backed up at a stop sign red light all the way down Waco Drive and you don't think you're ever going to make it home. There is no road map marked out for us in Waco right now. There is no race that we are running because we're not running at all. This race in Waco has no path to follow. Church family, Christ has gone before us. He has paved our path already. He's died on the cross for our sins. He set us free so that we may run and live a full life in and through Jesus Christ. We're called to be good stewards, spread the gospel, love the poor and the hurting and the marginalized. We're called to run this race well and run it after Christ because his love and grace abounds. Therefore, when we get to heaven, we'll be able to hear those sweet and beautiful words saying, I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I have kept the faith. Because again, with Christ, we can endure all things. Now you've endured, you've persevered, we've thrown off the things that hinder and so easily entangle us. And lastly, we're called to fix our eyes on Jesus Christ, the perfecter and pioneer of our faith. It's October 18th. How in the world did we get here? It feels like just yesterday it was March 13th. Some of us were on spring break. Some of us were excited for spring break. We were just focused on finishing out the semester and having a great summer. Suddenly, disaster struck. The impossible happened. Our world was turned upside down. And it's continued to be turned upside down in these last few months. Church family, I'm tired this morning. I'm tired of COVID. I'm tired of political duress. I'm tired of left versus right, black versus white, Christian versus non-Christian. I'm tired of hate, tired of sickness, tired of the deaf, tired of hurricanes, tired of fires, and tired of the unknown and the question marks. There are days, there are weeks, there are months that I don't think I can endure. I want to simply throw up my hands and say, why, God, why? Where are you? What is going on? What is your plan? Running this race, enduring this race of life is difficult. It can be hard. And oftentimes it can feel impossible. But, our God is stronger than anything we can imagine. As Ephesians 3:20 states, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly more and above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Abundantly more and above all that we can ask or think. Therefore, we've thrown off the things that hinder us and the things that so easily entangle us. We are running this race marked out for us. And lastly, and most importantly, we must fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Because through him and with him, we are able to endure all things. Endurance. It's a word we all know. It's a word that we usually associate with sports. It's something that doesn't come easily. Something that takes practice. Something that takes prayer. And something that can only be done with Jesus. Therefore, as we go from this place, let us throw off the things that hinder us and the things that so easily entangle us. Let us run the race marked out for us and let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Because, church family, if we do those things, our lives and our endurance will be a whole lot better. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, we thank you for this time. Lord, some of us today come tired. We come to you struggling. We come to you having a hard time enduring. But Lord, we are thankful. We are thankful for you and all that you have done through us. We know that with you and through you, we are able to endure all things. So Lord, as we go from this place, we ask that with your help, we can endure. We can throw off those things that hinder and so easily entangle us. We can run the race marked out for us, and we can fix our eyes on you, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.